jumping that mink slide. Oh, that's that mink slide. That is that mink slide.
I feel secure with you, baby. When you put your loving arms around me, we can do it anywhere, baby.
Oh, I gotta put that late night creep on y'all, man. How y'all doing?
Because you're teasing me with the things that
are. Oh, let me stop. Boy, if y'all better, boy, if y'all ain't got that mink slide, y'all slipping. If y'all don't have that mink slide, y'all slipping, man. What's up, man? We're here. We're live. We're doing a late night show tonight. We're doing a late night broadcast tonight. We're here. I'm here. I wasn't going to leave y'all hanging because I knew I was going to be busy all this week filming and stuff. But we're here with the family, ready to chop up that good game. Family, now today's show is brought to you by a brand new novel, a comic book series that's out. It's a comic book series about the Serve and Protect Act, and it's about a novel or a comic book story about a police state. The story follows a person named Danny Grangier. After being murdered by police as he leaves a party, he acquires powers bestowed upon him by the Egyptian god Osiris. Now under the moniker of Phantom, he goes on a one-man crusade to protect the citizens of the district from the police. Will he succeed or will he fail? You will find out. Check out St. Connie's Comics, Phantom Year One by Christopher Long. And you can get that on webtoons.com. Go to webtoons.com. Go to the search box. Type in Phantom by Christopher. That's K-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R Long. And hit that like and subscribe on that webcomic for updates and future issues and support their Patreon and all that stuff. But family, what we're going to do, we're going to take another quick commercial break. Let everybody know we're broadcasting live right now. Let everybody know that we're doing a late night pop-up. We're here. We're going to take that quick commercial break. Don't you move a muscle, family. We will be right back.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
You need to check out the hottest, newest thriller of the summer called Noxious. Affairs turn fatal when a reckless woman confronts her cheating boyfriend. And after a careless mistake, all hell breaks loose and hell has no fury like a woman scorned. Noxious. Passion can be toxic. The movie available right now on Amazon and streaming on Prime. Or go to NoxiousTheMovie.com and you spell Noxious, N-O-X-I-O-U-S. And follow Noxious the Movie on all social media. What's up, family? If you are somebody who makes music and if you're really serious about delivering quality product, then go on the internet and visit my friends over at LegendaryMix.com. They have the experience you need to get the job done right. They have almost 20 years behind the boards, and they have experience that is unmatched. Legendary Mix delivers professional audio mixing and mastering for a great price and a fast turnaround time. And as a bonus, sign up to the email list at www.legendarymix.com and receive a discount link and a free music marketing ebook. So don't hesitate. Get started today. Visit legendarymix.com or send a text or call to 347-565-5892.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispin, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody. everybody, at CrispiesBiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Let me turn my Mac and music down a little bit. Oh, WKFLAX in your mouth. Late night creep. Let me turn that music down so I can chop it up with my family here. How y'all doing, man? I'm glad y'all tuning in. Shout out to the international family. I see some people in the chat room from South Africa. My UK people are here. Shout out to you guys. Glad to have you guys tuning in. A lot of stuff we're going to touch on tonight. Before I get into that, let me give some shout outs to the family, everybody who supported and purchased my group Mink Slide, our debut album Egyptian Musk. I have to humbly say thank you to everybody, because the album is doing excellent right now. Last week, the album was number one on Google Play for damn near a week. The number one R&B album on Google Play. It was like number two on Amazon. It reached number three on iTunes. And this week, we are on the Billboard charts. Man, I got a shout out to the family. And I posted the other day, Tuesday, yesterday, as a matter of fact. Wow, I don't know why this week seems hella long for some reason. But I posted early in the morning that our Mink Slide album, it was on the Billboard Heat Seekers chart. It was number 19 on the Heat Seekers chart. But I learned, because I was only watching, I looked at the online version of Billboard. They have another, you know, the full version. And we're on three charts on Billboard. We're actually on three charts. We're on the top-selling R&B album chart. We're number 12. I didn't even realize that until later on that day. Right now, our album is number 12 on the top-selling R&B albums chart on Billboard right now. And also on the best-selling R&B and hip-hop album charts. We're number 39, I think. So we're actually on three charts on Billboard. This is our debut album, family. Man, I got a shout out to the fam and everybody for really appreciating the music, man. That's a beautiful thing, man. I'm very humbled by that. We're number 12 on the R&B, best-selling R&B albums charts. I want everybody to go get Billboard tomorrow. Get Billboard and keep it as a souvenir. This is very pivotal. Yeah, you know, I want y'all to get the new Billboard, the print publication. The print version comes out on Thursday. So the one that we're on, the charts that we're on, it comes out tomorrow in stores. So everybody, I want you to just get the Billboard as a souvenir. because this is our first time being on a Billboard chart. And it's absolutely amazing, man. And we are an independent group, 100% independent. And when you look at the charts, all the people that we're competing with, these are all with major labels. There are no independent R&B acts out there that's on the top of the charts like that. And I want black folks to understand, I do this for a reason. I do it for necessity. Some people are like, why are you making an album? Well, I do it out of necessity, and I like to do things to show folks as an example. When I started doing books, I wanted to show people by example that we can write books that's interesting without being ass-kissing simps. When I started writing dating and relationship books, cats felt like they had to be ass-kissing simps in order to write a book. And I'm like, no, you can just be yourself. Talk about some real player shit. And that's what I did. And I showed cats how to do that. When it came to these movies, these documentaries, a lot of people were complaining about the situations in Hollywood and how we're portrayed by the media. Well, I'm like, well, we have the power to do our own thing. We just got to make it comparative, and we got to make the quality up to par so it will compete with other shit. That's not hard to do. Let's just act like we're working for white people. I always tell black people that. Black people, we know how to work. We know how to put in work. We know how to do quality work when we're working for white people. When it comes to us, we start kind of half-assing and lollygagging. See, we got to get that habit out of our system. We got to work for ourselves like we're white bosses. We have to give ourselves that same quality of work, and you will be competitive, and you will be able to compete with everybody. And not only that, you will be able to exceed what they do, because our film series, Hidden Colors, that outsells a lot of documentaries by the dominant society. It's too many of us on this planet to not utilize our resources and aggregate our resources as we should. We got to get more confidence in ourselves. And just like with this project, I like doing challenging projects. When I look around, because I have a media company, when I see, okay, I've done the book thing, I've mastered that, been on the top of the book charts, I've done the documentary thing, been on top of the documentary film charts. I did a video game, Crispy's Biscuits. You know, that went to number one. Crispy's Biscuits was number one, the number one video game app for a few weeks all over the world. It got people over in South America playing Crispy's Biscuits. They don't even know what the inside joke is. There's a lot of inside jokes with that, but folks, it's a fun, addictive game. Even my kids play that shit. They don't know the inside jokes, but my kids play that. I mean, it's very addicting. You dig? And now I'm like, what else haven't I done in the entertainment industry? Like, wait a minute, I haven't done an R&B album, and I haven't had a hit R&B album on the top of the charts. And that's exactly what the hell I did. I planned on doing it, and I did it. You dig? And you can do that too. Because people are shocked. Now, I'm getting phone calls all over the place. People think that we're signed to some distributor and all this old stuff. No, we just made a quality product, which is very important. We had to do something everybody else wasn't doing. Nobody was doing real traditional R&B, really paying homage to it. A few people were touching on it. Some people were touching on it, but just a full-fledged, old-school, straight-up-and-down R&B album. Nobody was really doing that. A lot of non-black artists were touching on that. You have a lot of people like Daft Punk, who are great. I like these guys. You have groups like Chromeo. You know, they do some of that R&B with that 80s vibe. There's another group, Tuxedo, who I actually like, who's very thorough. But we went all the way with it. And with this album, it's a concept album, which is very rare. It's one of those albums where you put it on and there's a theme and you can ride the whole album out. And that's how albums used to be back in the day. Nowadays, we live in the singles era, where you got a hot single and a bunch of fillers. You dig? People got a bunch of singles, but you know, you ain't really got no thorough, all the way popping album. back in the 80s and even early 90s, you can put on an album and just let it sit and just ride that shit out. You dig? So that's what we wanted to do. We were very concise. We were very thorough and thought out with the way we did the album. Very traditional. And I'm glad people appreciated, people gravitated toward. And understand, for an album to be on the top of the charts like that with no radio play, we don't have any radio play, which is completely unheard of. This album is popping through word of mouth. People are bumping this stuff. Word of mouth. The word is out. I mean, critics are hitting me up. Critics love it. We're going to start doing a lot of interviews actually this week. Different magazines have been hitting us up. And I appreciate the family, especially the 300, for getting the word out there and showing folks that we can do things on our own without approval from the dominant society. Because what's interesting, I heard an interview on The Breakfast Club with Lear Cohen, who used to be on Def Jam, who used to be one of the heads of Def Jam. Shout out to Charlamagne. Charlamagne was asking some very good questions, and dude was kind of squirming a little bit. Lear Cohen was talking about, they were talking about like drug rap, you know, dudes rapping about drugs and all this old stuff, and Lear Cohen was talking about how drugs is a problem and opioids and drugs and all this old stuff, and then Charlamagne kind of busted him out a little bit, like, okay, well, he said, well, Lear, if you think, you know, drugs and all that is bad, why are you signing groups who rap about that? And Lear started squirming a little bit, and he was on some, you know, fuck it. He was like, well, shit, I need to feed my family. I need to put food on the table. It was like, shit, what he was basically saying was, shit, fuck these niggas. You know, I'll exploit them, but my family got to eat. And then Charlamagne was like, oh, well, damn, you know, Dame Dash gonna call you a culture vulture. And Lior was like, well, who is that? I don't know who that is. Who is that? He started acting real fucking funny style. He started splaining and, yeah, acting like he didn't know who Dame Dash was. Shout out to Dame. I'm gonna be with Dame tomorrow. Me and Dame, we're hooking up tomorrow. But shout out to Dame. I talked to Dame earlier, actually, right before I even heard this. So when I see him tomorrow, I'm gonna ask him about this. I might even go live on the gram or something and ask his response on this, because, you know, he's been calling those cats out for a long time. But it's very interesting how these people will just boldly talk about exploiting us like that. It's very interesting. Well, they're just bold now. Like, well, shit, yeah, we know we're exploiting these niggas, and, you know, they rapping about stuff that's destroying them and their community, but hell, my family got to eat. And I say we're going to have to start thinking the same way. We're going to have to start thinking the same way, family. We got to get off this kumbaya, let's lift everybody up, fuck all that. We're going to have to look at our family and say, hey, our family got to eat. And if it's going to be at the chagrin of all these other groups, well, so be it. We're going to have to be like that. You understand? Because people are just getting bold with the exploitation of us. They're getting real bold with it. And we got a choice. We got a choice to accept it or not accept it. We got to stop accepting that nonsense. So again, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do the project. Because the thing is, a lot of people, you know, they don't want to do a project that really takes time. Because the album we did, the Egyptian Musk album, it took time. It took a lot of time, took a lot of musicianship. You know, it took a lot of writing and thinking, and, you know, with a lot of rap now, you can just make up shit on the spot. If you have a hot beat, you know, and just throw it on out there, it'll be a hit. So a lot of cats just want that real catchy, poppy, trendy hit song that's going to be hot in the moment, but then you don't hear from them guys no more. You dig? So a lot of cats don't want to take the time out and put something real thorough together. I want to play a clip real quick of R&B legend Stephanie Mills. Some of you guys might not know who she is, but she was a real thorough sister. She's thorough now, but she was very popular in the 70s, early 80s. A real, real soul singer. Stephanie Mills is the shit. So she was on a TV show in Atlanta talking about the state of R&B. And Stephanie Mills kicked some real shit. I want y'all to listen to this. This is real talk from our sister, Stephanie Mills. And you guys need to Google and YouTube some of Stephanie Mills' music. That sister's a beast. She was in the original Wiz. I think the Broadway version of the Wiz back in the 70s. But Stephanie, I grew up listening to Stephanie Mills. She's very thorough. Hold on.
I've been in this business for 40 years.
Yes, all my life. This is all I've ever done.
Looking fabulous.
I'm 60, baby.
Looking fabulous.
I'm 60.
Because black don't quit. What is your take, Stephanie? Because, I mean, especially from, you know, an artist that has seen you my whole career, you know, and has thought of you as the diva, you know. Yes. What is your take on the state of music right now in our climate?
I think they want R&B, but they don't want it from us.
Ooh.
You know, they want
okay,
it.
Okay, it's over.
We're done. They want it from Adele and Justin Timberlake and those people. They don't want it from us. Because when you make an album and it's beautiful, or someone else makes an album, Kenny Lattimore had a wonderful album.
And we heard nothing of it.
And there's a reason to that, I guess.
So do you feel that the industry is trying to muffle us, and it goes back to social appropriation? Do you think that they're taking bits and pieces of what we are that makes us great, and then they're wanting to encapsulate that, but they're not wanting the skin?
They don't want to show the respect of where it comes from.
Mm.
You know, that's why when you see, I don't understand black women that inject their bodies and want bigger behinds. I mean, I'm trying to lose mine. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I don't understand that. We're beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I want to point out, that we are beautiful.
But yeah, she spit some real shit. She hit it right on the nose. You know, they like R&B, but they don't like it coming from us. You understand? They're like you black guys do that nigga music. Do that nigga monkey music. Do some of that monkey jumping around. You know, if you look at a lot of cats now, and I don't want to hate on my young folks out here, because people got to do whatever they have to do to make a buck. But if you look at a lot of hip-hop artists now, and I'm not trying to sound like the old nigga in the room, like, oh, these young people ain't doing it. No, because there's some young people like J. Cole, Kendrick, I mean, who are lyrical beasts. And everybody doesn't have to be a lyrical beast. Sometimes we like a little lighthearted stuff. That's fine. But look at a lot of these dudes out now. It's some clown shit. It's some monkey jigaboo shit. These niggas are weirdos. Little old bony skinny jean wearing niggas with tongue rings and with colorful braids and eyeliner and arch eyebrows and nipple rings and shit. It's always, you notice these major labels are scooping up these little old weird niggas. These little niggas are weird, man. I'm not trying to even be the old nigga in the room. But so, I mean, just think. One of these little niggas come to your house, somebody I want to date your daughter or your son. It's one of these niggas are weird looking. These little old weird drug addict niggas. You know, little old bony, crackhead looking nigga with dusty braids and a styrofoam cup full of lean. These little niggas are weird, man. This is how the game has been flipped. Back in the day, and I hate sounding like the old nigga, but even on some street shit, and these supposed to be some thugs, these little 100-pound thugs. What are you gonna thug? What the fuck is a 100-pound thug gonna do? What's a thug gonna do when he weigh 102 pounds? A little anorexic thug. Little hungry thug, little drug addict thugs. You know, back in the day, we saw little niggas like that. We're like, okay, this nigga's smoking that narcotic. He need to get up off the block. But that's what these labels they're putting out there. They're telling you this is hot. The little 103-pound thug with the skinny jeans and the tongue ring, mumbling. That's what y'all niggas need to like. That's that right here. This is what y'all need to fuck with right here. You dig? These little drug addict dudes and the record companies are promoting that. And a lot of artists who sound like they got some sense, they don't get that same push. This is why we have to take control of shit. We got to tell people, we got to show them what's hot. That's what hip hop is. That's what the music industry has always been about. It's always really been from the bottom up. We don't let the corporate machine dictate what's hot to us. We've always let the world know what was hot on our own. We got to get back to that. We got to stop letting corporate interests dictate where we should rock and how we should move and what we should listen to. We got to take back control of that. It's very important to do that and take control of our media. We got to take control of not only what we listen to, what we watch, and what we read. Speaking of what we read, we're going to have a brand new Mackish package by popular demand. As a matter of fact, the Mackish package sale is going to go on sale tomorrow morning. We haven't done a family in the chat room. When have we done a Mackish package? When was the last time? It's been a minute. It's been a long time since we've done a Mackish package, probably because it just takes so many man hours to, you know, my staff at the office to box all that stuff up. And it takes a minute because we get so many orders, but we haven't done one in a long time. And people have been begging me, man, when is the next Mackish package? When is the next? Has it been 2015? Has it been that long? It might have been. It's been years, right? Somebody said 1988. Nigga, all right. We're going to make this one a good one. This is what the Mackish package is going to be. The sale goes on sale. The Mackish package sale goes on sale in the morning. Thursday, and I hate dating the shows, but this Thursday, August 2nd. All right. I hate dating the shows because people be listening 5 and 10 years later. They be like, man, I went on that site. It wasn't even no sale. Man, I just saw some 2028 t-shirts, man. I didn't see nothing about no Mackish. Man, nigga, you're listening to an old show. All right. But we're doing the Mackish package starting in the morning. And this is what you guys are going to get. Just to show my appreciation. Really, I want to do it just to show appreciation to everybody who was supporting the album and all that. So I felt like, okay, let me do something fly and have a real cool Mackish package for the family. This is what you guys are going to get in the Mackish package starting tomorrow. And it's only going to be a 2-day sale. The sale ends on Saturday, okay? The sale ends on Saturday. I'm going to say it again. Don't hit me up Sunday. Hey, man, I'm still trying to buy it. No, it ain't going to be there. The sale ends this Saturday. What's the date Saturday? 2nd, 3rd. Hold on, let me look so I can be right and exact. But the sale ends on Saturday, the 4th, August 4th. The sale ends Saturday, August 4th. So you got tomorrow, Friday, early Saturday, but it's going to end Saturday. All right. This is what you're going to get, family. I make it, somebody asked, why do you make it so short? I make it short because too many orders come in. So we have to cut it off. We'll be in our office just all day, you know, doing these packages. It's a lot of work because so many people buy them. Okay, we're going to have UK delivery. It's going to be, you know, extra shipping charges for the UK delivery. All right, but this is what you're going to get in the Mackish package. You guys are going to get 9 items. In this package, there are going to be 9 items. And the first item you're going to get the brand new Ism Angels coffee table book. It's a picture book with my co-host from Ism Radio, Bree Layla. It's a very sexy and provocative coffee table book. This is a hardcover coffee table book, and it's a collector's item. All right? This is a collector's item. So it's just brand new. Now, that book right there is $50 alone. All right? That lookbook right there is $50 by itself. The next item you're going to get, you're going to get the International Sunglasses from the Tariq Elite line. And that right there and the coffee table book, that's like $150 right there. The sunglasses and the coffee table book, that right there is $150. The next item you're going to get the Ogun t-shirt. The next item you're going to get the 1804 t-shirt. The next item you're going to get the Morris t-shirt. The next item you're going to get the Eugenist DVD, one of my movies, the horror movie. The next item you're going to get one of my lecture DVDs, whichever we have in stock, because this package is going to go fast, so we'll run out of one, but we'll give you another one. Like, we'll have Miami, but if we run out of Miami, you'll get the New York lecture. So you're going to get, I just say you're going to get a lecture DVD. The next item you're going to get the small size shoes from the Tariq Elite Flex Step Boots. We got kid size, women sizes, and little nigga sizes. If you're a dude, you wear like a size 10 or under, you'll get that. And if you Bigfoot nigga, get the shoes for your kid, get the shoes for your lady. We got small sizes, like from size 7 to 10. All right? The next item you're going to get one or two of these items. One of two. One of these two. Either or. You're going to either get the book by Claude Anderson, the brand new book that he put out, because I'm promoting that, and we got a bunch of those in stock. I know they're going to run out fast, so this is why if we run out of those books, the Claude Anderson book, you're going to get another book called Avoid the Machines. We've been advertising that on the show. Now we are officially promoting that book for the company. And Avoid the Machine is a must read. Avoid the Machine is a must read. So you're going to get books, DVDs, sunglasses, a gang of t-shirts, the brand new coffee table book. You're getting all of this stuff for $149. All of that for $149. You're getting 10 items, well, 9 items for $149. Basically, most of the stuff you're getting for free. Most of the stuff you're really getting for free. And that's just paying for the shipping. It's a damn good deal. That's a damn good deal. You're going to be able to order in the morning. That's a hot-ass package. I had to make it good for the family. I had to make a good package for the family, man. Just to show so much appreciation. And just the family has been riding. I had to make the package real thorough. And that's the reason why it's only going to be a couple of days. Because, shit, we'll sell out of every goddamn thing if we did it all week or for a couple of weeks. So we're just going to do it for 2 days. So we don't, you know, because we're basically giving the shit away, which we don't want to do. But I'm just showing appreciation to the family. I don't want to give out everything for free. But basically, we're giving out shit for free. But it's a good package. And folks have been hounding me about this package for years. Because usually we used to do the Mackish package like twice a year. But I haven't done it in a long time. So in the morning, you guys go to Tariq Radio. And you'll look up in the upper hand corner for the 2008 Mackish package. All right? TariqRadio.com. 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 And look in the upper hand corner. And you'll see, get the Mackish package, 2018 Mackish package. And you guys get that and we'll be good to go. All right? So, now we got that out the way, family. And let's get into some business here. I've talked about the month of August, and I said this the other day on a broadcast, how the month of August, we're going to have the spirit of Ogun, the spirit of Sekhmet. The month of August is very significant to black people. We get the warrior spirit. It is enhanced in black people in the month of August. It's the beginning of August, and already I've seen several videos where white supremacists have been getting the shit knocked out of them by brothers and sisters, and I love it. I love it. I love seeing brothers and sisters stand up for themselves and not let these white supremacists push them around. Today alone, I've seen about 3 good videos of white supremacists getting that damn work. And I love it. They were out there protesting in Minnesota. A brother got shot in the back by the race soldiers. And they were protesting. And some white supremacist female, she saw the police out there. So she got bold and ran up on a group of black protesters. And she ran up and tried to grab a sign out of a sister's hand. And that sister socked her dead in her damn face. And then the white supremacist female went into victim mode, running over there to the police. And the police wasn't going to do nothing because they didn't want them people to turn up there. You dig? But like I said, the month of August, that's the month of Sekhmet, which is Leo. And we get a lot of warrior energy in the month of August, but I digress. Speaking of videos, there's a YouTuber, this mulatto little Negro. He's a YouTuber. I haven't really heard too much about this guy, but obviously he's a popular dude. His name is Austin McBroom. He's a popular YouTuber. He's one of these little Negroes. If he combs his hair a certain way, he could pass. He's one of them Negroes. But he's a little mulatto dude. And I think he has a Latina wife, and him and his lady, they do these little videos and all this old shit. And Austin McBroom, that's his name. I know a lot of y'all never heard of him. So people uncovered some of his old tweets. And he had some little tweets where he was talking shit about black women. Talking about black women in St. Louis. And he was just making a lot of little disparaging remarks about black women. Talking real greasy. He was sounding like a little white supremacist. I want to see if I could pull up some of his tweets. I mean, a lot of these little niggas, you know, when they, these little mulatto dudes, you know, they get around the white supremacists, they start talking crazy. But let me see if I could read some of his tweets. Hold on. I'm looking at BuzzFeed right now. So BuzzFeed said the dad of a major YouTube family channel is being called out about his racist and disparaging tweets about women, really black women. But some of his tweets are, in Michigan, black chicks look like drag queens. What else he say? He said, he got a whole bunch of shit. He's like, I can't do black girls because after we have sex, I'm going to have to pay for her hair. If you like them nice and ratchet, black chicks and their cheeks are without morals. St. Louis is for you. I mean, just a whole bunch of shit. Hold on. Shout out to my light-skinned girls, my light-skinned folks. Make room for pretty light-skinned chicks. He's giving the thumbs up. I mean, just a whole bunch of shit. Just a whole bunch of shit. Michigan black chicks make California black chicks look like beauty queens. Okay. St. Louis is scaring me away from black girls. Blondes with blue eyes are looking more appealing. Oh, I mean, he's just a little yellow coon. And the thing is, this nigga's mama's black. His dad is white and he has a black mother. His mom is black. And I saw a video where his mama was kind of caping for him, talking about, well, he ain't racist. Oh, they're ridiculous. And his mom was defending his comments because, you know what? His mom is the Negro bed wench. He has a white dad. And the thing is, all of that anti-black woman venom, I want y'all to understand this. No, he don't hate his mom. He got all that shit from his mom. I want y'all to understand. That little mulatto coon got all that bullshit from his bed wench ass mammy. He got all that anti-black woman hatred and vitriol from his mama. A lot of y'all don't understand that a lot of these Negroes and mulatto Negroes out here who got that black woman hatred, they mama teach them that shit. I want y'all to understand.
Do y'all know that these Negro bedwinch mothers be out here telling their son, hey, don't bring no black bitches up in this house? There's a black mother saying this to these dudes. You think his mama don't say that shit? I know stories of women whose mothers said stuff like that, and dudes whose mothers said they don't want no black girls up in the house. You understand? When these Negro bedwinches get around Zaddy, we really can't fathom the mind fuck that goes on with these folks. They literally think that there's something else. They think when they lay up in the bed with Zaddy or White Mommy, they think that they're not black no more. They think that they've transcended blackness. They think that there's something else. They think that there's something other than the average Negro. And they'll start talking just like white supremacists. So it's this Negro's mama. That's why she's co-signing him. All that shit he said. She's the one who told him not to bring no damn black woman up in that house. I've always told you guys, the Negro bedwench, they hate black women, other black women, just as much as they hate black men. Don't be fooled by them hiding behind black women, because the thing is, when you call a Negro bedwinch out, the first thing they do, oh, he don't like black women. Oh, Lord, he's talking about me because he don't like black women. See, they only use black women as a shield, just like white supremacists. White supremacists love using black people as a shield. I'm not racist. My spouse is black. You understand? But this little yellow Negro got all that from his Negro bedwinch mammy. That Bunny Ruckus mama of his told him don't bring no black chick home. That's him. He got all that from his mama. And understand with Stevante Clark and all those dudes, all that dark bitches bring dark days, they got that from their mama too. These niggas' mamas be teaching them that. They don't want them bringing, they mamas tell them don't bring in no black chicks. And they mamas be telling them don't bring in no dark ones. They real big on that. There's a lot of Negroes who talk that shit. Black men and women, old black men and old black women be talking that shit. But those Negro bedwinch mammies be telling their children, don't bring nobody dark up in here. If they too black, stay back. You understand? We don't understand how sick some of these black folks are and how the system of white supremacy has made them psychologically unstable, especially when they're laying up with the suspected white supremacists. They are really screwed in the head. But I digress. Speaking of racism, our brother Minister Farrakhan, do y'all know he was going to, they were going to have a Netflix documentary about Minister Farrakhan talking about his life, and at the last minute they pulled it at the last minute. I know Fox News had contacted Netflix. I don't think Fox has that type of pull, but I saw that in the story talking about Fox News contacted Netflix asking why they're going to have Minister Farrakhan and all this old stuff. My thing is, why would they pull Minister Farrakhan's? What's the justification? It can't be because he's a racist, because I've seen documentaries where they've had Jared Taylor and hardcore white supremacists on Netflix shows. So I want to know what their excuse is. I really want to know what their damn excuse is. It can't be on some, well, it was racism. What y'all scared of? See, this thing is, they don't want to show too many influential black people. That's why Netflix won't show Hidden Colors, by the way. A lot of folks ask about Hidden Colors. Netflix, they are fully aware of Hidden Colors. As a matter of fact, Hidden Colors got so many requests, it was in the Netflix database. And they took it out on the low. They took it out their database. So they're fully aware of it. You know, Netflix is cool. I ain't saying boycott Netflix or whatever. That's their forum. That's their platform. They can do what they do. But they know about the Hidden Colors series because people request it all the time. So they like black shit on there, but not too damn black. Not too black. You know, black comedy, black drug dealing movies, black, you know, Luke Cage, which is a great show. It's good, but, you know, we ain't going to go too black now. We'll have 13. We'll have that. We'll put Ava DuVernay's movie up there, which was basically like a spinoff of the Hidden Colors series. We'll have that, but not too black where you're really going in on white supremacy. You dig? You know, we'll have it black, and if we can sprinkle a couple of lesbians and transsexuals in there, like, you know, Orange is the New Black. We got to have the black cast. Then we got the black transsexual. We got to put our agenda in there. If we can't do that, I don't know. So they took my man, our brother Farrakhan's thing off. They're not going to have it, which is unfortunate. I would have loved to see it. That would have been a great documentary to show. But this is why we got to, you know, keep our ear to the street and keep things on our own and do it on our own. We got to make this thing do what it do. And speaking of Hidden Colors, we're working on Hidden Colors 5 now, family. I want you guys to stay tuned. We're going to make the announcement, but we're working on it now. We're working on Hidden Colors 5 now, and it's going to be a monster. But what I want to talk about, we want to talk about how the dominant society, they're starting to try to normalize perversion right now. This is something we're going to get deep in the Hidden Colors 5 installment. Oh, I know I stay busy. People are like, damn, you stay busy. Man, I got to. I stay busy. I know. But in Hidden Colors 5, this is something that we're going to really delve into. And I'm going to touch on it a little bit here. But because we need to warn each other about what the hell is going on out here. This is why we need our own platforms, because that's the only way we're going to save our people is going to be us doing it and us getting the messages out. And one thing we have to look at is that these white supremacists are really, really trying to normalize straight up perversion. They're trying to normalize and they're trying to legalize stuff, especially pedophilia. Have you seen how they've been really pushing these sympathetic stories towards pedophiles? Have you guys noticed that lately? They're really going out of their way to show pedophiles in a very sensitive light. They're going out of their way to almost make pedophiles look like victims. Now I want to play a couple of clips for you guys. This one clip of this woman, and I know some of you have probably seen it. She was on this TED Talks thing, and TED Talks is where people give lectures. And I don't know what this woman's name is. Don't give a shit. But this woman is trying to normalize pedophilia, like make it seem like it's not so bad. I want y'all to listen to this.
Most of us feel discomfort when we think about pedophiles. But just like pedophiles, we are not responsible for our feelings. We do not choose them. But we are responsible for our actions. And we must make a decision. It is in our responsibility to reflect and to overcome our negative feelings about pedophiles. And to
No. Did you hear what she's saying? We're going to have to overcome our negative feelings about pedophiles. No. Listen to the little music. No. No, 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 no. No. The white supremacists are always trying to pull a doozy. We're going to have to get over our negative feelings. Yeah, they can't help. You know, you can't help how you feel. Fuck out of here.
Treat them with the same respect we treat other people with. We should accept that pedophiles are people who have not chosen their sexuality.
No, no, lady, no. We gotta respect a pedophile? No. This is why black folks, they always try to pull us into some of these little lifestyle movements. See, this is why we got to watch out for that, because this is what they've been planning. They've been planning this for a long time. They've been planning to sneak the bullshit in there. Hold on.
And who, unlike most of us, will never be able to meet other people with our negative feelings about pedophiles and to treat them with the same respect we treat other people with. We should accept that pedophiles are people who have not chosen their sexuality and who, unlike most of us...
Listen to how she's talking. They haven't chosen their sexuality. It's that... I'm born this way talk. This is just the way I am. You got to be tolerant of me being a pedophile. See, they're trying to make pedophile a lifestyle choice instead of a crime. They're trying to decriminalize pedophilia. Because the thing is, most pedophiles are overwhelmingly white males. And right now, these white supremacists are on code. And we can't just keep locking up the white males, right? The jails, those are for the black guys. So now, you know, pedophilia ain't that bad now, is it? This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to normalize it so they can legalize it.
We'll never be able to live it out freely if they want to lead an upright life. We should accept that pedophilia is a sexual preference.
Yes. From an emotional point of view, I can kind of understand that you would want to eliminate these people from society. However, it doesn't make sense. And that's because we're talking about biology. We're talking about a sexual orientation.
No, it's not. This is another lady. I'm playing two different ladies. Now, this lady, you see, this is a whole movement now. This is like, this is them talking about pedophilia being a sexual orientation, like being a lesbian, like being gay. This is what they've been trying to do all along. They've been trying to pull this little bullshit all along. Raping no fucking kids is not no sexual orientation. See, black folks, we got to stop being sucked in by their bullshit. They're trying to normalize perversion. And the people who usually suffer are black children, because they love experimenting on black kids. So now when these people out here raping black children left and right, which is what they do every time they get around a black baby, because black people, we're easily victimized, especially children, well, then it ain't no crime no more.
Something that we simply cannot change. And on top of that, every day new people are born with the same difficulty. So it's not practical to eliminate these people from society. They haven't done anything wrong.
What? Do y'all know these people are fucking... Being a pedophile ain't wrong. We shouldn't eliminate them from society because they haven't done anything wrong. See, yeah, the Sanduskies, they want to get the Sanduskies out of jail. These people, because they love sports people, sports coaches and all that. So white males who are into sports or whatever, rotting away in jail because of them being pedophiles, and plus it's black kids that they were fondling. So, you know, what you did ain't so bad. You understand? These people are trying to normalize and legalize this so that white males can stop going to jail, particularly for raping black children. This is why we got to be 100% on code. Let me play another clip of this white male talking about his pedophilia. And again, this is another program where they're trying to normalize this guy. Some guy named Todd Nickerson. And this is him talking about he's a non-active pedophile. I mean, they try to fool you with words. Neely Fuller talked about how they try to use words and fool you and manipulate you. I want y'all to understand, everything these people are saying is a crock of bullshit. They are very good at trying to sweeten up and lighten up and dilute what they're really trying to do and make it seem like it ain't that bad. Well, I'm a non-offending pedophile. I haven't acted on it, but I just have these feelings and I'm not so bad. Bullshit. Now listen to this guy.
I am Todd Nickerson. I'm a non-offending pedophile. I have never, ever sexually abused a child. I never will.
I don't believe that, by the way. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. This dude looks creepy as fuck. The most white supremacist suspects are pathological liars, and I just don't believe that. But he's on TV, so again, they're trying to clean it up. But for the record, I don't believe him saying that he never molested a child. I don't believe it at all. I don't believe it.
I do not look at child porn. I never will. I obey the laws. I respect the laws. I respect society's position on this. I understand it and agree with it. I am part of one of the most hated groups of society. No question about it. We are the scapegoats du jour. If you look at history, there's always one minority that seems to be the one that everybody kind of persecutes, and I think we're it.
Did you hear what this nigga just said? Did y'all hear what this dude just said? Throughout history, there's always been one minority that's been persecuted, and we're the minority. So now pedophiles are minorities. This is why I say, black folks, for you, get the hell away from the word minority. So now pedophiles are claiming to be goddamn minorities now. We're minorities just like you. We're persecuted just like the blacks. We're minorities too. We're all minorities. We're in this together. This is why black people, we can't cape for other groups. We can't cape for other groups. We can't use language that's going to benefit other groups, because they use the language to bring in fuckery. We got to stop being afraid to say black, and cut all the other bullshit off. Hey, I'm doing things for black folks, not minority, because now you got pedophiles claiming minority and they're persecuted now. So anything that's out there for us, they want to grab onto it now. We got Mexican minorities, Asian minorities, gay minorities, lesbian minorities, handicapped minorities, not pedophilic minorities. Dude, hold on.
And it. And
we play that again. So y'all,
I am part of one of the most hated groups of society. No question about it. We are the scapegoats du jour. If you look at history, there's always one minority that seems to be the one that everybody kind of persecutes, and I think we're it. I'm campaigning for better treatment of people like me.
Better treatment for pedophiles? And listen to the music. I mean, they're really showing this guy in a very sympathetic light. The music is all sympathetic and happy. Pedophiles need better treatment. Man, please.
No, we're non-offending pedophiles. Not all pedophiles are child molesters, and not all child molesters are pedophiles. Pedophile is strict.
Mumbo jumbo, white splaining, white supremacist babble. All pedophiles aren't child molesters. Yes, all of it is the same. All of it is the same. Don't let them run this game on none of y'all black folks. It's all the same. It's all the same. Anything sexual towards kids is all the same.
Pedophiles are child molesters, and not all child molesters are pedophiles. Pedophile is, strictly speaking, is just somebody who has the sexual attraction to children. They may act on it, they may not. Pedophiles come from all walks of life. We come from all sorts of economic backgrounds, different occupations, and we look like everybody else.
I mean, this looks like a commercial for the Mormons or something. I mean, they're showing this dude at the lake, at a picnic. I mean, they're really showing this guy as everyday next door, a great guy. I mean, they're really, really making this dude look sympathetic. I mean, y'all can listen to the audio, but even the visuals, I mean, he's a great guy. He's just like messing with kids. But other than that, he's a great guy. He's like everybody else.
There are a lot of teachers and people that, you know, who do work with kids, but I think most of us just hold regular jobs.
How would you say you manage to control your sexual urges?
A lot of people think that if you're attracted to kids that you have some kind of, like, unusual degree of urge to go out and, you know, attack kids, and it's not like that. Most people, you know, when they see somebody that they're attracted to, do they automatically think, oh, I want to jump on them and have sex with them? Mm-hmm. So it's the same with us. It's just, you know, we just happen to be attracted to kids.
Oh, my God. The white supremacists, they stay on code with each other. They stay on code, and that's the name of the game. Good, bad, right, or wrong, they find a way to stay on code. Because the thing is, like I said, the majority of child molesters and pedophiles in this country, in society, period, are white males. White males are overwhelmingly the majority of pedophiles. And if, as we've seen, there's been an uptick on pedophilia and child molestation with these white supremacist suspect males. And the thing is, the white supremacists, they're all about survival right now, so they can't be locking up all the white males for crimes like this. So now they have to decriminalize this perverse behavior to save the white supremacist males. Also, you have to understand, when these dudes go to jail, the brothers light their little asses up. As another thing, because when these dudes go to jail, pedophiles and child molesters, you don't do too good in jail. You don't do good in jail at all. You become a target. The guy who just molested all those kids, that gymnastics guy, chat room, help me out with his name. The gymnastics dude, who they gave 100 and something years. They threw the book at dude, but he molested damn near every kid on the team for years. What's that guy's name who just went to jail? Somebody help me out. I know it's taking a minute in the chat room. I can't think of the guy's. No, Larry Nassar. Nazar Nassar. What is it? Nazar Nassar. Yeah, Larry Nassar. They whooped his ass. Y'all know that. Last week. I think they tried to put his ass in GP. In jail, and the minute he went to GP, that's general population, they lit his ass up. And now, you know, they're trying to move him into another jail or whatever, saying that, okay, the sentence is too hard. He's being targeted in jail. They lit his ass up the minute he stepped in GP. You understand? Ain't nobody playing with these pedophiles like that, and neither should we.
What age groups are you attracted to?
I would say it probably starts about three, four years old, and then goes up into early 20s, late teens, early 20s, and it kind of peaks at about like 9, 10 years old.
Okay, this is enough. I can't play no more, family. I'm sorry. All right, that's enough, but you get the point. So this guy, his sexual attraction starts at 4. His sexual attraction starts at 4 years old, and 9, it kind of peaks at 9. 9 years old is over the hill. It peaks at 9. 9 years old, you're old school if you're 9 years old. I need a 4-year-old. And they're trying to normalize this sick bastard. This is why we have to be 100% on code, and we're going to have to be about that street justice life. That's just what it is, because I say this, these white supremacist molesters, they become normalized, and then they'll start legalizing these molestations, and the major targets are going to be black children. This white supremacist just went over to Haiti. He was molesting children for years. They just locked him up. Once they get that legal green light, our children, it's a wrap. They're going to be making a beeline to our children. Our children are the most vulnerable. Children in group homes, all that old shit. Our children are very vulnerable. And black people, we got a very bad habit of letting our kids go with white mommy, white daddy, and all this old shit. you jumping out the water right into the frying pan messing with them. We're going to have to be on some survival thing, heavy. We're going to have to be on some shit where we're very hostile to these other groups. We're going to have to be on this thing where we ain't buying none of the bullshit that they're selling. We're going to have to protect these black babies at all costs. Now, if y'all want to do whatever to your kids, well, I can't do too much about that. And I don't wish anything bad on anybody's kid. But when they start moving over here to our side, messing with our kids, like, oh, shit, mine? Nah. No. These people are going to have to get drugged and beat down in the fucking streets if they're going to be allowed to mess with our damn children. It's going to have to go that way. And then we'll deal with the consequences if we even have to deal with death. That's what it's going to be. We can't be the kind of people that's going to walk around like everything is cool, knowing that these people are targeting our children, raping them, and doing God knows what. No, all of us going to have to die. We're going to have to think like that. If we let them do that, then it's the sky's the limit. We don't exist to be these people whipping boards. We don't exist for that. We weren't made for that. And black people, we got a very bad habit of letting this stuff go on. We've let it go on long enough. We let it go on too long. We let it go on through slavery for way too long. Well, they're molesting the kids then. That's what they really want. They wanted to get back to slavery where they can just have you working in the field, come in and molest the kids anytime they felt like it, and black folks just kind of saying hymns. No. Damn that. That's what they really want to go back to. They've been trying to set this thing to go back up to slavery and wipe out all the rebellious Negroes. No, we're going to have to be on some shit. We're going to have to shut it all down. If it costs our life, we'll so be it. You'll just be reincarnated to something else. Like I said, if you have a courageous spirit, you'd never die anyway. That's why the Haitians were putting in so much work. They understood that. When they start tapping into some of that Ogun and some of the Vodun, they understood. We don't really die. If you live a courageous lifestyle, you don't really die. The physical body goes, but that spirit is always going to remain. You never go away. Now, if you're a coward, cowards die 1,000 deaths. A coward, you wake up and die every single day. If you are a coward, that's why that saying... There's been an old saying, cowards die 1,000 deaths. These cowardly, docile niggas, understand, don't nobody remember you, nothing. You don't remember coons. You remember warriors. Don't nobody remember no docile, submissive ass-licking coon who sits up and go along with the program. You don't remember them. The spirit remains, and the spirit is remembered by people who put in work, people who put in work to do the right thing for the universe. And these sick, perverted bastards, they're polluting the universe. These white supremacists, the shit they're doing is polluting the atmosphere. Their energy is just fucking up everything. It's fucking up the ozone. Fucking up society. The ice is melting in the North Pole. Just everything is fucked up with them. The trees dying off. That's why animals keep attacking their ass. I post videos all the time of these suspected white supremacists getting ate up and chomped up and stomped on by animals all over the place. Animals are getting tired of that. Animals know what's up. Every time you turn around, these white supremacist suspects getting bit by an alligator, a polar bear and snapped on them, a whale and jumped out the water and landed on their ass. Just the animals are going. You don't see animals doing that to niggas. I've said that a million times. I posted a video of some sisters in Africa walking with lions, just chilling, walking with lions, no leash or nothing. That's why you don't see black folks getting mauled by animals and stomped on by elephants. You don't see African people. You do not see that happening. It's very, 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 very rare. Animals can sense evil. every time you turn around, a bear is biting the shit out of some white supremacist somewhere. They can sense evil. You dig? And we need to get that street justice game going for a lot of the bullshit. We need to do the work of God. We need to do the work of Ogun and be willing to put in that work. Because these people, they're just too perverted. These white supremacists are just perverted beyond words. And I saw some earlier on Twitter. I don't know if some of y'all saw it. I wasn't going to even retweet it. I wasn't. A few people sent it to me. I wasn't going to even retweet it. It's so explicit. It was these white dudes. They look like either white or Eurasian dudes, but they look like some white dudes, very pale skinned dudes. You don't see their faces, but you see they're naked. And these dudes were having sex with pigs. This is circulating on Twitter. These white dudes or Eurasian dudes, but they look very pale and white. They were in a pig pen. There's two dudes having sex with pigs. Y'all can look it up if you want to, or just kind of take my word for you. You can't unsee it, so don't. I suggest you don't look it up. Just kind of take my word for it. But these people are just on another level, family. These folks are on another level. You can't be sympathetic towards these type of folks. You can't be sympathetic towards them. You can't get them to see your point of view. They're too sick and perverse. They're just sick and perverse to the bone. This is why when I see black folks trying to tell them how you're being hurt, oh God, don't shoot me. We're being hurt and we're being abused. You shot my uncle in the back. Oh, please help me. I don't want to see us doing that no more. You're wasting energy doing that. You don't understand the kind of people you're dealing with. You don't understand the kind of people you're dealing with. These people are just so perverse to the bone. They're trying to do anything they want to do. They want to do anything they can get away with. They want to hold on to the last piece of supremacy they have, which is societal supremacy, because they know their numbers are dwindling and their days are numbered. So they're going out with a bang. You understand? And we got to understand that dynamic and don't let them take us out. Understand and live in the spirit of Ogun. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a lot of y'all up, man. There's a couple of grand of y'all in here. Y'all up late. It's 1 o'clock in the morning in LA. So it's like 3 o'clock on the East Coast, 4 o'clock on the East Coast. Shout out to the East Coast. But anyway, family, the Mackish package goes on sale in the morning. Go to TariqRadio.com. TariqRadio.com in the morning. And the Mackish package goes on sale. You have 2 days to get it, family. All right, y'all. I'm up out of here. Don't forget to get the Mink Slide album, man. It's in the top 20 top-selling R&B album in the country on Billboard. Get Billboard tomorrow, too, and save that as a collector's item. That's my first time being on the Billboard chart. So get Billboard magazine tomorrow with Mink Slide on the top of the damn charts, man. Very humbled by that. Much respect. Y'all guys have a good one.